This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you season two of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Hey, what do you say? Friday podcast, not exactly a summer Friday, but we'll call it a winter spring Friday. Down the Jersey Shore we head, which will be packed sooner rather than later. His name is Al Dukes. What's up,
man? Oh, we're getting ready down here, Jerry. All the towns are selling out of their beach badges, their seasonal beach badges already.
That's why it's happening. That's why I know the weather can be awful, but yeah. I enjoy March and April just because of the anticipation of what's coming. You see the turnover. You have the sense that winter's ending. So I'd be selling the beach badges, too, if I was in charge of that
town
there.
Oh, yeah, Jerry. A lot of towns sold out already, and then some of the residents are like, sold out? I didn't know they were on sale. And they're, like, already gone in some of these beach towns.
Got to be on top of stuff.
Yeah, so I know Bradley Beach still has some available. Not that you should come visit here. Please don't. Actually, I do like a lot of action here in the summer on the weekends. I like when there's, like, a lot going on. It's stuff to look at, people to judge, you know, these sorts of things.
I totally agree.
Have a beer and judge people and watch them try to find parking.
Which, it's got to be fun because it's such a mess.
It's the most fun part because when I moved down here, you know, there were a lot of places I looked at that a lot of people just have street parking here.
Right.
So I needed to go somewhere that had a parking lot where I had an assigned spot. That was very important to me. If I couldn't get a garage, and the garage was, they were way too expensive, any, you know, homes with garages or condos with garages.
Sure.
So I was like, at least I have my own spot. Then when it's chaos here, I could still feel like I'm rolling into my spot.
No question.
Fight over it.
That is, it's priceless.
Yeah. Our friend Jim Rome, or who, you know, a colleague, I'll say our colleague Jim Rome, he's starting a new podcast.
Okay.
And to me, it feels like a midlife crisis podcast.
Uh-oh. What are we doing?
Now, Jim Rome has his radio show.
Yes.
Then he has an interview podcast on top of his radio show.
Oh.
Now he's also going to have the reinvention podcast. And he's going to talk to people about reinventing themselves and how we as men and women, I guess probably middle-aged, can reinvent themselves. I'm going to give it one episode as a listener.
Okay.
And then I'll report back on it. But the Reinvention Jim Rome podcast.
So he really has to hook you.
Yeah, he really has to hook me. But it did seem like something you might be interested in because it feels like it's going to be somewhat of these, you know, people saying positive things. And I know you like positive messages. Even though we make fun of your kill yourself messages.
Yes.
But in your real life, you do like to hear uplifting speakers.
Love that stuff. Yes.
You love that stuff. So that's what I'm thinking we're going to get here. And maybe we'll all learn something along the way. So I'm going to check that out. I think the first episode is out today.
Okay. I don't know that I will check that out, but I could.
All right.
When do you think it comes out?
It was supposed to come out the 4th, which is yesterday, but when I looked for it yesterday after the show, it was not there yet.
Okay, because I have a flight today and tomorrow.
Ooh.
So I could use something new to listen to.
Okay, well, you mentioned on one of the shows today that you caught some of the Howard Stern Arsenio Hall interview.
I did, about 40 minutes of it.
40 minutes. Jerry, you're only about a third of the way through.
I know, his interviews are so long.
Good Lord.
I know,
and I am enjoying this one because I think Arsenio Hall had an interesting career with that talk show, and he's a good talker, and I do find him interesting.
Yeah, so do I. I think he's been great so far.
But again, like I was like with Howard, you know, back then I followed everything Howard said. So if Howard didn't like somebody, I didn't like somebody.
Okay.
I was a sheep follower.
Right.
And he hated Arsenio Hall back then.
Well, that's funny because they talked about that, at least. Did you get to that part?
Yeah. He's brought it up a couple times.
Yeah, it's interesting. So,
yeah, so I think, too, like, I didn't give that guy credit for what he was doing back then, as Howard didn't. You know, he did reach a different talk show audience than the Johnny Carsons and Letterman was reaching.
Yeah.
And was getting very big guests. But then he starts talking about the, you know, how competitive it gets, not just with guests, but when you, if your audience expects you to have only certain guests on.
Yeah.
And he wanted to have. Yeah, like he wanted to put Dolly Parton on. You know, he did put on, like, I think he said Public Enemy or NWA, one of the rap groups, very early on before anyone really knew who they were.
Right.
Yeah, so it was just an interesting, it's an interesting discussion. I like anybody that was in the industry years ago that has a perspective on it now, like a looking back on it now.
And I got to tell you, he looks great.
Oh my gosh, he looks terrific. So does Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy's almost 60. He looks like he's still 38. It really is incredible, actually.
And he's promoting the movie you're going to watch this weekend, Coming to America 2.
Did I mention what did I do this on the podcast already, talking about who he said he believed was the most influential African-American? Did I mention that to you?
I
saw him with, was it Kimmel? No, I think it was Jimmy Fallon. It was either Fallon or Kimmel.
This is Samuel Hall?
This is Eddie Murphy.
Oh, Eddie Murphy. Okay.
And they were talking about a lot of different things. They were talking, you know, myth or truths and different parts about his career and stand-up. And then they got to, like, you know, real-life stuff. And Eddie Murphy mentioned to him that Muhammad Ali was the most important African-American of all time. To where I said, wow. I said, more so than Jackie Robinson, more so than Martin Luther. I was just surprised. Now, I'm not saying what Muhammad Ali did wasn't amazing. I'm not saying that at all. But I would have thought he would have been a few behind. I don't know. I was actually surprised by that one.
Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, just because of just the two names off the bat that I say that came before Muhammad Ali. Right? I don't know. I'm not, whatever. It was interesting to me. I think it starts with Jackie Robinson, but, you know, whatever. It was interesting.
Right. I guess different names will pop up for different people.
Yes.
And some you'll go, oh, right.
I'm sure.
That makes sense now.
Yep. And I know Muhammad Ali did a lot of different things. I'm aware, but I don't know. I was just surprised. That's all.
So many comedians, whether they're African American or white or any other ethnicity, so many of them cite Richard Pryor as a stand-up. And I've never gone back ever and watched a Richard Pryor stand-up. And I feel like I should.
I don't think I have either, to be quite honest. I know Richard Pryor as the actor.
Right, me too.
I don't really know him as the comedian. And you're right, because that was in that conversation with Eddie Murphy that I'm talking about, they were discussing how he was the one guy that when, you know, if he could get Richard Pryor to laugh, he felt like his day was made.
Right.
So it was, I'm telling you, it was, he told a great story about Rodney Dangerfield, just briefly. Murphy does this stand-up, and Dangerfield is the headliner, and he's watching him because Eddie Murphy is the big up-and-comer, and he's cursing left and right. And at the end, he gets off the stage, feels like he killed it, the audience is laughing, and Dangerfield tells him, hey, nice set, but you got to drop all this foul language. You're better than that. And so Murphy really felt dejected after talking to Dangerfield. Well, he continued doing what he was doing. Raw comes out, or Delirious, whichever one came first, I forget. And now he's killing it. And the next time he sees Rodney Dangerfield, the first time after he saw him that night, was in a bathroom at a casino in Vegas. And Dangerfield looks over. They're both at the stall. He looks over. He goes, I guess I was wrong. And that was it. That was the conversation.
Well, what's funny is Dangerfield, supposedly the guy who found Andrew Dice Clay.
And look at his language.
And put him on TV first. The HBO Young Comedians, Rodney Dangerfield used to do.
Who knew?
But so many comedians, like even from like the 90s and early 2000s that I would hear on Opie and Anthony, like they all would cite Richard Pryor.
And it's interesting working there like you did, that you still never went back and looked.
I know. I don't know why. Well, I'm going to. I might Google that. I might play some of that today.
You got something to do now on a Friday.
Well, I've got that Jim Rome podcast as well, Jerry.
Wow, it's busy.
I have two vagina-related stories to give you. One, a woman has designed consent-themed panties.
What does that mean? Were they holding them or something?
No. They're panties with messages on them. They're cute panties. I just want to say that word a lot. And they have messages on them like, did I say yes? And ask first. So I guess if you get down near there, you want to double check. These are consent panties with a message.
All right.
They were kind of attractive panties.
Did you buy some?
I didn't buy any, but I did click the story to read the whole story.
How much do they cost?
That I didn't see.
Where do you buy them on? Etsy?
On
or Etsy? What's it called?
Etsy?
Etsy.
Would you call it Etsy?
I don't know. Etsy.
Love Etsy. I haven't made any Etsy purchases lately.
I know. I got to make something.
Then I was thinking about this. Well, the other vagina story was a 55-year-old New Jersey woman. She's also selling a vagina-related item. This is a face mask, face covering for the coronavirus, that is vagina-scented. And she sold 500 in the first 24 hours.
Come on!
She explained, now this is, I'm taking this directly from the article. She explained that a fine cloth is placed in the vagina for 2 hours and then glued inside the mask. What is going on in the world? And she says, soon, penis-scented.
What does that smell
mask
like?
Mask covers. Probably sweaty dudes.
Okay.
Right? Who wants that? Who wants this? I'm not sure I want to.
I'm with you. What are we doing?
What are we doing here? And the woman sold 500 of them in one day. Okay. Imagine coming up with something goofy like, here's a penis-scented candle. And then it sells out. You're like, oh my gosh, I got to get more penis-scented candles.
We did. It was called Junk Bomb.
Junk Bomb, right.
That didn't go as well as we planned.
Well, we didn't have a production team ready to go. Turns out.
No, we didn't.
Craig just had you bagging up junk bombs and running them to the post office.
Remember me, you, and Eddie?
Yeah, that was so
down
silly.
The block.
Yeah, heading over to the post office. So those are two vagina-related stories. Then I was thinking about this. Who do you think the audience is for MTV these days?
I have no idea. Not me.
I talk to people with teenagers. So you have a teenage son.
Yeah, my son will be 17 this year.
Gina's got a teenage son. Bobby has a teenage daughter. No one watches it.
Not that I know of.
I don't even know what their audience... Like, MTV, VH1, Comedy Central, they used to be like dominant channels.
Yeah, sure. We've outgrown them, I feel like.
They just... But no one grew into them. Like, we outgrew them, and no new audience grew into them.
I would agree with that. I mean, is the Jersey Shore on MTV?
It is.
So maybe people are... sleepy. Maybe people are watching that. I don't know about the rest of the channel.
Right, that's the thing. And even the people watching that are probably the older MTV generation that watched it when it was first on.
Sure. That makes sense.
Like, Gio, I think, watches it. I was watching it. I bailed on it. It got too boring. They weren't doing anything because they were all mature now.
Have you seen like TV? I don't even know where you get TV ratings from. No.
But I didn't even like something sneaky that they started doing on these channels. Well, first of all, like I know you can get now. You can start buying packages of streaming, right?
Okay.
So like, this all started my thinking. We were giving away the Paramount Plus, which has MTV on it. And everything being on demand.
Yeah.
Now, for some reason, we stood by when cable TV came out and we accepted commercials on channels, even though we were paying for it, which is crazy.
Sure.
But now with the streaming coming out, if you can pay a premium price to get no commercials, which I like.
Right, sure.
But these channels like MTV, VH1, Comedy Central, they started putting like, they're just rerunning sitcoms and movies. And they add so many commercials. Comedy Central started doing this with The Office because I was like, oh, I could watch this at night to fall asleep to The Office. The Office, which is 30 minutes long, which in TV runs 22 minutes, right?
21, yeah, about 22 minutes or so, yeah.
And then 8 minutes of commercials. They stretch them out now an additional 5 minutes. So Comedy Central runs The Office from, say, 10 to 10:35. 10:35 to 11:10.
No kidding.
And they add commercials to it.
Wow.
In addition to the 8 minutes of commercials.
Yeah, wow. Interesting. I didn't know that.
How about that?
And then I will say, though, the thinging about the cable, if you go back.
Yeah.
Remember one thing, though. It wasn't incredibly expensive, A. B, right. It guaranteed you a crystal clear picture as opposed to the stupid antenna. And B, you had channels that were brand new that never existed before. So while when you look back and say we stood for commercials, think about all the added value you were getting that you otherwise didn't get on 2,
That's
4,
true.
5, 7, 9, 11, and 13.
Right.
So right,
we were getting
right.
sports 24 hours a day with ESPN.
Right. I mean, so you're not wrong about what you're saying, but I think if you took a time machine and went back, you would have been like, wow, this is awesome.
Right. I wasn't like, what is going on here with commercials?
We just kind of lived with commercials. It's what it was.
Yeah.
I think I'd take that dog out, dude.
I took her out before the end of the show because she had to do poop.
Got it.
I think she just gets bored.
Well, that could be.
Because she's sitting here. She's sitting here from like 3:30 in the morning.
It's hard. Yeah, I know.
She's just like, let's roll. Let's go walk and smell some stuff.
Have you started to break it down to her that in about 4 weeks or so, she's going to have a new routine?
I haven't broken that down to her yet.
Will you have the conversation?
I will have the conversation because the dog communicator says that she clearly understands me. So
there you go.
I will
so
break
just
it
tell
down
her to
with her.
Tell her to zip it then if she understands you.
And I'll have to introduce the new dog walker to her because Gina can do it some days and the new dog walker will have to do other days.
Did you get a female or a male dog walker?
Female dog walker.
Oh, nice. All right.
This dog is not that interested in people in general, but certainly not
like
men.
Her?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, good for you.
So we'll give that a shot. I don't know how it's going to go. I hope she has, I met her. She has a very nice dog disposition.
Okay. She's just waiting to get the call.
She's waiting for the phone call, yeah.
That's it. Because
I reached out to her in November when I thought I was coming back.
Right, right, right.
And here
that
we
has
are.
Gone, yes. You have been able to milk another 6 months out of it.
Somehow,
God
yeah.
bless you.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show.
Yes, I'm going to Minnesota. Let's hope I come home with a win on Saturday.
Minneapolis?
Yes.
Flying?
Yes, we're flying. You have a good weekend.
Your game is when, Saturday?
Noon tomorrow.
Noon tomorrow. Okay, cool. Will you enjoy Minneapolis if you happen to run into Mr. Paul Westerberg, frontman for the Replacements? Shout
I probably
out.
Will not. But I will tell you, they're sitting us courtside.
Oh, that's
we
cool.
But we have to wear a mask the entire time.
Wow.
Even calling the game. That's going to be
that?
Tough.
Yeah, that's going to be weird. Just get a really thin mask.
I have one, but it's not still not the same.
All right, Jerry. So, we'll all right, see
I'll say
you
I'll
on
say hi
Monday.
To Paul.
Say yes. hi to Mr. Paul Westerberg.
Yep.
So.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, campers.
Al and Jerry. Don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
You know what all still does not suck? That's called the Friday and the weekend. It is 5:03. We've gotten to the end of the week. What the hell do you say? His name is Eddie Scazzeri. He's in New York City with myself and down the Jersey Shore in Bradley Beach, the old man by the sea. Was that Hemingway? That wrote that book, The Old Man by the Sea.
It's
Eddie?
The Old Man and the Sea.
Whatever. I'm calling it The Old Man by the Sea. His name is Albert Stanley Dukes. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Jerry. And I want to take a moment to toot my own horn.
Although, just a moment?
although in front of you and Eddie, it makes no sense because today I celebrate 20 years at...
I think
the
that's
company?
Great. Yeah. No, just because just because we're here longer doesn't mean it's still not a nice accomplishment. It's great.
20 years in New York City radio.
Doesn't it feel like 20 minutes?
Sometimes and sometimes longer. It is funny though when I was thinking about this and wanting to toot my own horn and then looking and seeing you've been here longer, Eddie's been here longer. What are the chances that right now on the radio, I'll be at 5:00 in the morning, there'd be three gentlemen with over 70 years experience.
That's right. On the same
on
show.
On the radio.
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
It's a long time.
Not on the same. Oh, like the three of us are right now on the same program.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's unbelievable. Like, I really like that's a 20 years is a long time.
Scary, actually.
When you look around WFAN,
yeah,
there's a lot of people roaming around.
Yes, there
with
are.
With a lot of years.
Yes, there are.
Mark Chernoff's been here forever.
Yes, he has been.
Evan's been here a long time.
Yes.
Not 20 years, but
long. Bob Uesler,
14?
Long time.
Bob Uesler.
Bob Uesler started, I believe.
My goodness.
I think he started 2 years prior to me. 95? Does that sound right, Eddie? 95, 96?
Yes.
He was just before I got here. So, yeah, a lot of guys. You know what? It's a good place to be.
That's Steve Summers has been here forever.
Well, that's even longer. Yeah. I see he's gotten, he's friends with Seinfeld again.
Yes, I saw they made up via Neil Best and Newsday. They haven't communicated themselves, but Neil Best wrote an article. Jerry Seinfeld said all is good with him and Steve, and then he's going to call into Steve's show, he says, once baseball season.
Lifelong friends.
And this will happen. There'll be some falling outs among lifelong friends.
There always are.
They'll go right back in. You can't break the love of a sitcom star and a late night sports talk show.
Oh, no, you can.
It doesn't just go away.
It did for a while. It
for a little while, but you couldn't keep them apart.
I suppose not.
So, but by the way, Ron and Fez, who I started with, Ron is still on the radio. He's still on satellite radio.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right. No one does. People ask me. People ask me all the time. They'd be like, whatever happened to Opie and Anthony? They'd be like, they're on the radio.
They still are?
No, they're not. They've broken up.
Oh, okay.
But when they were still, you know, kicking around, people would be like, whatever happened to those guys? I'm like, they never went away. They just switched to satellite.
They switched. You know. There's only a couple that can switch formats like that and still matter.
Yeah, and it's weird. Like, when for satellite radio, if you're a talk show host and you're not Howard Stern, like, no
well,
one
he's
knows
one
you're
of them.
Over there.
Right.
Rarely do people know you're over there. But Fez quit the business quite a while ago. But Ron is still going strong.
That's really interesting to me. So you had a popular show like that.
Yeah.
You say quit the business. To
yes.
Do what?
And I don't know.
This is the question me and you always discuss.
Yeah. I don't know. He doesn't return my emails.
Oh, wow. You've fallen out of favor that quickly?
With Fez, yeah.
Man.
Fez didn't like, they were doing some sort of anniversary show where they wanted me to come on their show, and I was not able to come on their show based on the show I was working on.
Yeah,
or and Fez got mad at me.
Oh, what a shame. What is a Fez? Like, I don't know who he is.
Fez was a sidekick on Ron and Fez, was a sidekick on the Ron and Ron show, which was very popular in all of Florida.
Okay.
Fez is a hat. It's a fun hat.
It's so that's like, not his name then. That's just his character name?
That's his on-air character name. No, he has a real person's name. His family did not name him Fez.
Understood. Well, I don't know. Maybe his last name was, you know, Fezitor or something.
Right. I see what you're saying. Like Gio is short for Giannotti.
Right. That's his parents didn't name him. Oh, little baby Gio.
Right.
Although Gio is a name for some, not for him.
It is. And good news, we were in a merchandise meeting, Jerry. We'll be having warm-up show merchandise as soon as
we
can
think of. Is this true?
If we can think of something that would be fun on a T-shirt or
anything.
A coffee mug, then we got to come up with something fun. Then we can sell it.
Well, why? How about the graphic, the logo we have that's on the website to start?
Yeah.
Why don't we do that?
Actually, a listener had DM'd me. He had coffee mugs made of that, and he's sending them to the station.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, for one for me, one for you. The warm-up show coffee mugs.
And then he'll be sued.
And then we will sue his ass, Jerry.
I'm not going to sue him. I'm going to drink my coffee out of it every morning.
As soon as I get that coffee mug and I have a return address, I'm going to sue his ass.
I do like the idea, though, of my sayings on a mug. I think that's fun.
Yes, your sayings on a mug would be nice.
I'm going to send them to Jess today.
Like they'd be great for a morning coffee, right? You get a saying about how life is short and you're going to die soon. Or something like that.
Yeah, well, something like that.
How about just a coffee mug? You, sir, die.
That could be one.
That
I don't know if that works.
Mug.
That doesn't work for me. That's not exactly.
It's a little much for first thing in the morning.
I don't even remember how that one came up. But no, I would say I have other ones that I wanted to put in the calendar that I didn't do because life took over at the end of last year, as you know. So I can give those to Jess.
I might just do like a boring mug, boring hat, that sort of thing.
That's all.
Start a boring brand. But we got to do something for the warm-up show. Jerry, the demand is the amount. Jerry, if I had a nickel for every time someone said, can I buy a warm-up show
merchandise? You would have a quarter.
I might have a quarter.
Good morning campers on a mug?
Well, that's what I said.
Good morning campers,
I think part of what we have on the website, I think, is that with a photo. I think it's like little cartoons of. I think it's great.
Yeah, the cartoons. We'll
do
that.
Why not? Let's go.
And I've given you many examples, Jerry, in the past of why I chose not to have children. I was always afraid.
Never found a woman that wanted to have children with you.
Well, other than
that's
that,
part of it.
Small obstacle, Jerry, other than that one little obstacle. There was always a fear that no matter how good of a parent you are, that your kid could turn out wrong.
Here's the thing about you.
Could become Jeffrey Dahmer has parents, Jerry.
I would bet my life savings, which ain't that much right now,
yeah,
on the fact that had you met Gina 25 years ago,
okay,
you would have three children and a house in the suburbs.
I'd be in
a panic.
I would
bet everything on that. You would have little Al and Gina's running around, but you met her a lot later in life.
I would be in full panic mode if I had three kids.
No, you would.
Well, I would. I'm telling you. First of all, they're a big money suck.
Do you not think I wasn't?
No, I do think you were in panic mode.
Do you think Sal is not in panic mode right now with his wife about to have a baby in 5 weeks?
So why do it is my question.
Because it actually happens to be an absolute blast.
Hmm.
And I, you know, this is very cliche, but it also happens to be incredibly true. I have no idea what life would have been like without my two boys. Right. I mean, it is so much fun. It's nuts. Now, I get if you have a bad kid. I don't have a bad kid.
You'd have a lot more money in the bank, Jerry. I tell you that.
Let me tell you.
You have some cash.
You are not kidding.
And it's also a biological imperative. We are programmed to procreate.
Right.
It's
Eddie and I are fighting that.
Well, you have fought the good fight and you've won.
Correct.
At this point.
But who's going to take care of me when I can no longer?
No, you're going to die lonely.
You'll die alone.
Yeah.
They'll find your body in a, you know, a month later.
Right. I mean, not to be, you know.
With a greyhound glim, sniffing but, it.
Whimsy will have eaten you.
Oh, God. That's a horrible thought.
Do not eat me if I die, Whimsy girl.
I mean, I would say, I would hope, mm-hmm. I would hope that your nieces and nephews still care about you enough. Because you're right. Otherwise, you are going to, going to end up alone in your underwear watching some murder documentary as you take your last breath.
I've got an 11-year-old nephew that I'm counting on, and I'm going to start telling him that. The others are too old by now, so I'm counting on him. I'll tell him, listen, I'll slide you a little cash in the will. Take care of your Uncle Al.
That's
just
all.
Just check in every once in a while, and if I don't answer, send the police over for a welfare check.
Just keep eating your salmon and keep your walks, and you'll live a nice long life to 100, I promise.
Right, but as you said, Jerry, I've mentioned that I'm afraid to have children. Well, another example has popped up in the newspaper, of all things, and it's not something that was uncovered. A child of a prominent person went to the newspaper to tell them about her love of threesomes.
I just sent you this email.
And this is, I saw it. This is Rudy Giuliani's daughter, Caroline.
Well,
imagine you're Rudy Giuliani.
But hold on.
Your daughter's in the paper telling you how awesome threesomes are?
Now,
holy mackerel.
Hold on a second. Are you saying they're not?
I don't know.
What do you think?
I can't handle one person
what
at
do
a time.
You, but hold on. If I, now, the idea that it's in the newspaper, all right,
yeah.
A little bit much. But.
My goodness.
If I asked you,
yeah.
Pretty cool or just horrible? Which one would you pick?
For me, I'm going just horrible.
Oh,
I don't
shut
need
up.
Another third person running around.
Eddie, which would you choose?
I'm sorry, I was editing. Can you please repeat the question?
Oh, boy.
All right. In the New York Post, there's an article about Rudy Giuliani's daughter who told Vanity Fair about her love of threesomes. And Al is saying that's another reason not to have kids because it blah, blah, blah.
It's embarrassing.
But my point is, fair enough, it's a little embarrassing, but at the end of the day, pretty cool.
It is cool. And by the way, good for her.
That's awesome. He says it's awful.
No. Good for you. Sexual proclivities in this day and age.
Go for it.
Yes.
Imagine, like, Rudy Giuliani, you know, he's an old fella now. I'm not sure he's got all
He's off the rails right now.
Yeah, he's off the rails. So someone has to, you know, brief him about things in the press. They got to be like, Rudy, your daughter, Caroline. Yes, is she on the phone for me? No. She's in the New York Post for a Vanity Fair article in which she said she loves threesomes.
And you got to see some of the lines in the article.
Yeah, she joined some website, evidently, where you can meet couples if you're interested in being a third person in a couple.
Great. Good for you segment.
Good for her.
If she likes that, I'm not going to criticize that. Hell, if I was single, I'd be joining too.
You'd be in that as well. Hi, I'm Jerry.
Why not? Like, if I was single at this stage of my life,
yes.
I'm 46. If my wife left me, why wouldn't you have fun like that?
Right. Well,
no interest.
Feelings
huh?
get hurt, Jerry. Feelings. No, I can't. I can't handle one woman at a time.
You don't. You do not give yourself enough credit. You don't. With almost everything in life, it's weird how you like the credit and you want the yes. spotlight shined on you. But when there's time to actually shine it on you for, you know, self-confidence and different types of things, you confuse me because you don't give yourself enough credit.
All right. Maybe that's part of my charm.
I will go back to the day when we expanded this to an hour.
Yes.
And you were like, how are we feeling? I'm like, just trust yourself. You're fine. And then when it was going to be 5 hours, you were in full panic mode.
I've done this before. Full panic mode.
We're fine. And how did it go both times?
Well, Jerry.
Not well, very well.
Very well, I'm sorry, very well.
And in a case like this, I think you'd be a stallion.
Jerry, I want to check in with two people on Twitter. Richie Collins says, don't worry, Jerry, Dan from Carteret will take care of Al.
I'm sure he will. Dan
in
from
old
Carteret
age.
Loves Al.
Dan and Carteret's got a terrible diet. He's going to go before me
I would
for
be
sure.
Right. Say, I think you're going to 100. I would be concerned about Dan.
And Coco Haters on Twitter, who we've heard from
Coco
before,
Hater.
has an idea for warm-up show merchandise.
Okay.
He wants a wuss hat.
Well,
wuss standing for warm-up show. Wuss, come on. I'm not wearing a hat that says wuss. You, Jerry?
No.
Me neither.
But wouldn't wuss be spelled W-U-S-S?
Yeah, he's spelling it W-U-S.
So this cuts off an S.
It cuts off an S.
Quite the same thing. I would. Wuss. Here's how I would wear it, if you put a period in between the letters.
Okay.
That's okay.
All right, we're in for that then. We'll take wuss hats.
But I don't know. What's that going to look like, though?
Stupid.
Like a wuss hat?
I get that, Eddie. It doesn't excite me, though. Like the one hat we saw yesterday, which I could see on your head immediately.
Yes, 100%.
That's right up your alley.
WFA and baseball cap, distressed, as they
looks
say.
Looks awesome. I thought I thought that was actually the best product we saw. I thought it was really cool, and I think that'll be a big... big seller, because I would jump on.
Can I walk around with a WFAN hat on, or is that weird?
Well, why not? You walk around Bradley Beach in an Al Dukes jersey.
Point. Good point.
Hey, look at me.
That's fair.
So, yes, I think you could. Absolutely. Do you walk around with the Boomerang Geo shirt? I do. I walked around with the Boomerang Carton shirt back in the day.
Yeah, I do not do that.
You do not do that.
No, because it feels weird.
Why?
Because it's I work there.
Okay.
And he doesn't want the attention.
Yeah, I'm not looking for
attention. He'll just tweet out, hey, I'm going to be at the Stone Pony.
There's a great men's store in, I think they're in, they're up in like over by the Short Hills Mall.
Yeah.
They're called 580 South. They're in Livingston.
Okay.
And they have t-shirts and hats that say local celebrity.
Okay.
Hello. That'd be perfect for me.
Oh, so did you buy them or no?
No, I just saw them online. I was like,
oh,
maybe
I thought you had been there before.
No, I have been there, but I saw them on.
How many did you buy? The full outfit?
I was hoping they would just send me one because I wrote back to them. Like, oh, that would be cool.
What do you mean you wrote back to them?
On Instagram.
Boy.
I Instagram people.
I got to get in on this Instagram thing.
David Dobratz wants to know if I'd rather die naturally or be murdered so I could be on Unsolved Mysteries to continue my legacy. I would like to go missing.
What is crazy about that is I think you'd actually think about the answer.
Yeah, and it has to be like unsolved or
unsolved,
like 100 years later, we're still looking for Al Duke's killer.
If you have any information on the missing former radio producer, call Unsolved Mysteries.
By the way,
you
just gave the Bradley Beach serial killer a great idea.
There's a Long Island serial killer. There's not a Bradley Beach serial killer.
And let's hope it stays that way. Gosh. All right, 5:18, just getting started. Friday morning on The Fan in New York City. We got Boomer and Geo coming up at the top of the hour. Don't go away.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Al and Jerry. Less talk, more rock.
All right, 25 after 5. Knicks won last night. They go into the All-Star break, a game over 500. Pretty tough stretch coming out of it, and the Rangers just clobbered the Devils, and the Islanders won last night as well. What else there, Albert?
I see that Kevin Durant is, you know, he's one of these, what do you call him, the team captain for the All-Star game, Jay?
Yes, correct.
That he picked Kyrie and James Harden.
He did, yeah.
Shocker.
What was interesting about the two teams is they really stayed conference to conference for the most part, if you look at the rosters, which I thought was interesting. And you know what was funny, too? I'll play this, Eddie, if the fader's up. So LeBron, I'll just play LeBron because we've talked about the Jazz. Remember we were talking about them being disrespected by the officials the other night? Remember that or no?
Yes, I do.
So in the All-Star selection, Donovan Mitchell is, I mean, if he's not a top five or six player in the NBA, I don't know who is. I mean, he's that good. And Gobert is really good. They were the last two players taken by LeBron and by KD. And so Charles Barkley basically brings up the fact that you've slandered the Jazz. Like, how do you guys do this? This was LeBron's explanation, which kind of goes to the point that, yeah, Utah gets disrespected a lot.
There's no slander. There's no slander to the Utah Jazz, but you guys got to understand. You guys got to understand, just like in video games growing up, we never played with Utah. Even as great as Karl Malone and John Stockton were, we would have never picked those guys in video games. Never.
That's kind of interesting. I mean, I know it's goofy,
yeah,
but my God, it's almost like the Jazz are playing in Siberia.
Yeah, I guess Utah is a weird state.
But what does that have to do with the players playing in the NBA there?
I don't know. Like, I know what he's saying with the video games. Like, I would never pick the Utah Jazz either.
But
or
I
the
feel
Denver
like
Nuggets.
Yeah, I know that. But Stockton and Malone, I feel like, were a legendary 1-2 punch.
Yeah. You know what? NBA Jam. Did you ever play NBA Jam? Where it was like a two-player team.
I don't think
and
so.
And it was in the video. I think they had it for home video also, but it was in the video arcade. You could play NBA Jam. It was this very cartoonish version of 2-on-2 basketball, and it was the two top stars of each team.
Right.
And that would have been a great combo for those two.
Yeah. Stockton and Malone.
Stockton Malone. Slam dunk.
Like when I think about basketball back then, I think of them. But apparently these guys didn't.
They're like Utah. I'm not recalling that being.
Are they
the
even
team.
In the United States?
Now, Durant had to pick Kyrie and Harden, or they would be angry with him. It would ruin the team chemistry for the rest of the season with the Brooklyn Nets.
If LeBron took Harden with the second over with his second pick, what are you going to do?
Oh, right. I see what you're saying.
That's all. I don't know. I'm
Maybe
not sure exactly
deal.
When he took Harden. I don't know.
Maybe there was a deal, Jerry.
There might have been a deal.
Side deal.
Could have been a
you
deal.
You don't take my guys. I don't take your guys.
I did like that Durant took Julius Randle, so the Nets and Knicks will get together in Atlanta.
They'll be on the same team, you're saying, Jerry.
They will be on the same team. And Obi Toppin is doing the slam dunk contest.
Obi Toppin. There's only like three dudes in it, though, right?
That's what Sal said, yes.
Yeah.
I did not pay much attention to the slam dunk
contest. Yeah, I believe Sal.
Yeah, no, so do I. I don't think he was making it up.
Let's do three quick hockey stories that have nothing really to do with hockey.
All right, then.
All right, because if they did had to do a real hockey, I would never bring them up.
You'd be out.
I'd be out. But Alex Ovechkin has been fined $5,000 for spearing his opponent, Trent Fredericks, in the groin with a hockey stick on Wednesday night.
That seems like that sucks.
Did you happen to see the video of this?
I did not. Did you?
I did. They were going at it, I guess, all night, trash-talking each other, push and shove and that sort of thing. And then this Trent Fredericks got in Ovechkin's face, da-da-da, and Ovechkin just took the hockey stick.
Just popped him.
Ow.
There are a lot of crazy things
that happened.
I just
hurt myself, for real.
What did you do?
I tried to make the motion of the hockey stick shooting up to the testicles, and I hit my hand on my table.
Oh. Well, at least it wasn't the other.
I actually thought you punched yourself in the testicles.
Ow. I really hurt my thumb. Damn
what
it.
Are you made of? Peanut brittle?
Peanut brittle, Jerry.
Do you need us to call an ambulance, Al?
I'm going to die here alone.
Well, no, you're on the air, so if there's a problem, we can get help for you.
Right.
Help me, please.
Help me, help me. So if you're curious about spearing somebody in the groin, $5,000. Probably was worth it to him. Ovechkin makes a ton of money, right?
Yes, he does. $5,000 is like you taking out a nickel.
It looked like he really got it out of his system. Like, this guy's been busting my chops all game. I could punch him in the face, but what would really
that
be great.
That does suck, though. I'd actually rather be punched in the face than that.
It was like an old school wrestling move. He put the stick between his legs and just... Boom, straight up.
How long do you think he's hurting for, though? Seriously, because I told you, when I got hit with the baseball last summer, it was 3 days I was not right.
I actually couldn't tell whether, like, if he was wearing a cup, maybe it didn't even hurt. He just went down for.
Have you ever been hit there with a cup on?
Yeah, no.
I'm not saying it doesn't protect you. 100% it does.
But
you still feel it, though.
Right, it's still an impact.
Yes. And if it still connects the right way or moves the right way, it still hurts like hell.
Yeah.
Just not as bad.
All right. My second non-hockey story of the day is the Pittsburgh Penguins are in trouble.
I saw this.
They tweeted out a photo of the stands the other day when they had fans there. And in order to put it out on Twitter, they looked around and saw some of the fans weren't wearing masks, so they photoshopped some masks on them and tweeted it out.
I actually don't know what's so wrong about it.
Is that wrong?
But
I guess because they were showing that people were in masks when in fact they weren't.
But why would you not just put the photo out as is? I guess the people would be shamed if you can find them, I guess.
Yeah. Shame on you. Shame, shame, shame.
Listen, I'm watching baseball games on MLB Network, SNY, whatever. And they show the crowd. Most people have the masks on. Some don't. Even the college basketball I watched over the weekend. Same deal. Most have them on. Some don't. I mean, I think it is what it is. There's no need to do that.
Imagine if you were shamed, like, in by your neighbors because they saw you at a Penguins game with no mask on.
Oh, let me ask you this.
Shame on you, Jerry Recco.
Would you rather? Oh, I feel like a six-year-old. Would you rather?
Would you rather?
New segment on the warm-up show. We call it Would You Rather. Would you rather have your photo without a mask on be put in the newspaper and then you're shamed for it?
Okay.
Or would you rather someone take a quote from you you didn't realize you were quoted? And you were put in a newspaper article about your love of some sexual act. That's nothing, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
It's just something you like that embarrasses you that people found out, whether it's a threesome, whether it's something weird you like to do. Nothing wrong with it. All good.
My love of feet. I would say.
So which would you rather?
I would say I'd rather be photographed with no mask on because I could fight that fight.
But there's no fight to fight with your sexual.
I know, but I'd get
enjoyment.
A lot of, like, my Twitter would just be nonstop about
for
my
a
love
day.
Of feet or something.
Again,
for
with the feet,
day.
You really like these feet, huh?
I don't like feet. I just know that that's what's one of the top fetishes.
Maybe you like giving thigh massages.
Right.
Whatever it is. That's better than feet, no?
No, yeah. Thigh massage? Yeah, definitely.
Erotic back massage.
Ooh, erotic back massages. Yes, that would be also better than feet. I'm not a fan of feet.
No, who is?
Feet are disgusting.
Aside from Rex, I don't get that.
Men love feet.
I don't. I think nasty.
All you got to do is look at any woman who posts a photo like at the beach or something and then look at the comments underneath. It's all like, can you get a close-up of your feet? Would you mind sending a close-up of your feet? Would you mind Instagramming
Where
that?
Are you seeing these comments?
Just go on any picture. If you just happen to, when you're scrolling social media, if you see a woman who's barefoot, it's just click and look at the mentions. I guarantee there's people asking for close-ups of the feet.
I can't remember the last time I saw a picture of a woman that was barefoot on social media, but I don't scroll
well,
either.
I guess you're not following what I'm following.
Clearly not.
My love of feet. An account called Barefoot Women of Instagram.
Are you really?
No.
Oh, why? Like, it's so shocking.
But, like, feet are dirty, feet are filthy, feet are little piglet things. Like, it's disgusting.
Yeah,
I'm not interested in feet.
I agree. I mean, I'm not either.
Of all the body parts I'm attracted to, feet would be the one of the bottom ones. Not interested. And my final, Jerry, third story.
By the way, Jerry, you know that's
only
true.
Hear Eddie. Yes, Al. Your third story.
How dare you? My final hockey non-hockey story involves former hockey player Sean Avery. Now,
what is he doing? Is he still picking fights and punching people out on the side of the road?
Yes, but he's now bi-coastal with it, Jerry. We used to watch his Instagram in New York City, where he would pick fights with people who would park in the bike lane. Who would stop to make deliveries in the bike lane. He was the bike lane cop.
Yes.
Self-appointed. But now in Los Angeles...
You have to. It's too cold here.
Yes. Well, now in Los Angeles, he's got into a fight breaking a man's car mirror after they had a heated dispute, I guess a couple weeks ago, when Sean Avery felt the man was blocking the road. So then the guy says Sean Avery was jogging and saw the man in the car again, but this time he was not blocking anything. He just happened to see the guy and started a fight with him. And the guy, you know, rolled up his window so there wasn't trouble. And then Sean Avery just ripped his side view mirror off.
Wow. He seems like a little bit of a loose cannon, would you say?
A little bit of a loose cannon. And I tend to believe the guy because he said in the first encounter he had quotes of what Sean Avery said to him, and it was like the same thing Sean Avery would yell at the people in the bike lanes here in New York City.
When you put this stuff on video and there's a log of what you're saying and doing,
yeah,
it's not much, really hard to defend yourself, isn't it?
It is.
So I would think...
That really goes against my character.
I think he'll be sued.
Nice.
Right? I mean, you can't rip a guy's mirror off.
No, you cannot.
I mean, I think he's got a big modeling career now, I think.
Oh, right.
I'm not 100% sure.
Plus, he probably made
good
money.
But he wasn't a star. Like, he didn't make star player money, but I'm sure he made a lot. Let's see. Yeah. Sean Avery.
And his wife is a model.
Oh, another one.
As well.
So he's doing
quite
well.
Dual income.
Then. So it says, let's see here.
She's a foot model.
Is she really?
No.
I don't know. Wouldn't surprise me.
Let me see your feet. Jerry, tweet out a picture of your feet.
No, I don't even want to see that. Are you out of your mind? Ugh, my wife's feet are fine. Mine are not. Mine are horrendous. Sean Avery made, let's see here. Well, you know what? Sean Avery made a lot more than I thought. He made over $20 million in his career. His last year, he made over his last 4 years of his career, he made $16 million.
Nice.
So, yeah, he's doing okay. All right, we're going to take a break. 25 in front of 6 o'clock. Boomer and Gio at the top. We have a lot more to do on the warm-up show, so don't go away here on The Fan.
Al and Jerry, number one with meatheads in the gym.
Yeah, yeah.
542. Great to have you with us. Real quick before we get back to the sports of sorts, I suppose. Any interest? Because I cannot wait. Any interest in Coming to America 2 today that releases on Amazon Prime?
I have no interest.
None, huh? Are you an Eddie Murphy fan or no?
Not particularly.
I love Eddie Murphy. I actually like the movie, so I cannot wait for that. And it's for me, there's not many movies that I look forward to. This is one.
Where is that? Where can we watch that?
Amazon Prime.
Amazon
it was
Prime.
Supposed to go to the theaters, but they decided rather than hold it. I guess they wanted to. I heard the Arsenio Hall interview on Stern.
Yes, very good interview.
It was. He said in that I guess the production company had to make a decision, hold it until 2022 or possibly 2023, which I don't understand, or just release it now that it's ready on Amazon Prime, and they figured let's do it now because there might be references that don't make sense in 2 years.
Right.
So.
All right, so you'll be watching that this evening,
you think?
Oh,
I can't wait. Yeah, I can't. Well, I'm going to be in Minneapolis this evening. So over the weekend. Yes. Rutgers is at Minnesota tomorrow.
Nice.
So we have that trip.
Did you check the weather forecast there? Is it
supposed to be 50 and sunny tomorrow?
50 and sunny?
Yes.
All right.
How about that?
Jerry, let's do a little sports media news.
Yeah,
sports
please.
Media
let's
news.
Do that.
Yes. First, let's keep it in-house. Carton and Roberts announced yesterday they're going to be simulcast on SNY.
It didn't take too long, did it?
For two of their 5 hours.
Yep. Two very important hours.
The two very important hours from 4 to 6 p.m. starting in May, they're going to be on SNY preceding the Mets coverage.
Right.
SNY Mets coverage, yeah. So that's good for them. Good for you.
Right.
Then we got Skip Bayless. This is another one. You know how I always yell about, like, I don't know how teams
afford
money and this sort of thing? Skip Bayless signed a $32 million deal with Fox.
Yeah.
After ESPN evidently offered him $30 million to get back with Stephen A. Smith. Didn't ESPN just fire like 9,000 people and then they got $30 million for Skip Bayless?
And this is what annoys people about ESPN now. They've let go of a lot of good people and they are paying their top talent, not good money, ridiculous money. And yet, we keep firing people left and right. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
And, you know, this is the thing, too. We can sit here, and this was kind of my point on Twitter yesterday. I don't understand it. I really don't. We can sit here and mock Skip Bayless all we want for the ridiculous crap he puts out there. And he does. If you Google his name, you will find
former athletes, former media people that he feels or they feel have been slandered by him. He just puts stuff out there that's not true to get reaction, and he's rewarded for it. So really, we're the fools, not him. $32 million, Al.
$32 million.
You realize some of the crap he has said that has been just not only inaccurate, but just flat out wrong. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Just say what you want.
Yeah.
It really
is
incredible.
$32 million.
Yeah. But this is the part that I don't get. Was it Andrew Marchand or I forget one of the media guys that put out the amount of viewers their show has. They compared it to, what's the name of the show? Rosali, and it's on TNT. I forget the one with Jason Sehorn's, with Angie Harmon.
My goodness, I don't even know what that is. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's because it's a cable TV detective show that hasn't been on the air in 3 years. I think 2016 was its last year of episodes. So it showed that the latest show that Bayless and, who is it? Who's he doing with? I don't watch it.
Skip Bayless?
Yeah. Who's he doing with?
No idea.
Anyhow, his last show drew 200,000 viewers.
Yeah, so what?
The show on TNT that I'm talking about, a rerun, did 380,000 viewers.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Like, how is that? I'm not being a jerk. I'm being serious. And maybe clearly we're missing something. Maybe they are wildly popular on the internet and on social media. If they are, hey, good for you, as you would say. How is that job worth more than like $100,000 a year?
I don't know.
Let alone $8 million to do
what? I don't
what?
Know.
I don't understand.
Whoever is that, so is there someone there, Jerry, screening that could screen a call? Is Eddie there? Is there somebody else
he
there?
He is not.
He is not. Is anyone there?
He literally
no
just
there?
Walked out with the log.
Oh, right.
No, there's no one.
I got a guy calling in who has something interesting and I asked him to call about. So if you see somebody wandering there, it's a 401 area code, Jerry.
401?
Yeah, unless you could see, you can't see the calls ringing in.
I cannot.
All right. And a Chicago sports anchor, a local fella, has been, his name is Mark Giangreco.
Ooh, Giangreco. Please, that's a little close to my name. Okay.
Jerry Greco?
No, you said Greco.
He's probably done at the ABC TV affiliate.
What'd
been
he do?
He's been there since 1994, a long time. He is the highest paid local sportscaster in America.
I'm sorry. I was telling Eddie to take the call. He's the highest paid sports anchor in America, you said?
Yes.
I thought that was Warner Wolf.
And have Eddie tell me when he's ready, because this call is not for you, Jerry. He's the currently highest paid sports anchor in America.
All right, so what'd he do?
He's been with ABC Chicago since 94. He was showing a video of a hockey player knocking down drywall in a house by blasting pucks at it.
Okay, that's cool.
So he said, oh, this could be a new do-it-yourself show, DIY show on one of those home improvement channels. He said Cheryl, who's his news partner, he said Cheryl can play the ditzy combative interior decorator.
Oh, boy.
And he's probably going to be fired.
Okie doke.
For calling her the ditzy combative interior decorator.
877-337-6666. We got a call on the line.
I got a call
in for Al Dukes.
Yes. Now, this fella's name.
Sorry, you're on
the air. This fella's name is Don. And what Don has done, Jerry, is over a period of time, he can tell us how long, he has documented all of the middle names you have given me.
You're kidding me.
And he can tell you which are the most frequent middle names you have used when introducing me.
Hainsworth.
At the top of the show, you introduced me as Albert something Dukes.
Yes.
And Don here has been keeping track of all of those names. How long have you been doing this, Don?
About mid-October. Now, it first started with Hainsworth. I wake up every morning, and the first thing I jot down the middle name that Jared gives you. I've got a lot of names here. I've got 50. I'm not going to go over every
single
one, but I'm kind of give you the highlight.
Can I guess what my most popular one is?
Paul, you're ruining my bit.
Oh.
He's doing a bit, yes. Jerry.
We're doing a bit?
You can. It's a bit. Yes, go ahead, Jerry.
I want to know if Jackson is my...
Albert Jackson Dukes is the number one middle name that you give him 20% of the time. Give him Jackson Dukes.
Okay.
Can I guess one? Where does Stanley come in?
Stanley was number four. Stanley Dukes, Al Stanley Dukes, the number four in the top 10.
Nice.
But I don't know how long I'm going to be on, but I want to give you just sort of the highlights and some weird ones.
Well, since it's about Al, you have until 6 o'clock.
Yeah, well, take your time. Space it out. Stretch.
So the top 10 middle names, and this is a real list, but I wouldn't be holding it in my hands. So
true.
Top 10, Albert/Hughes came in at number 10. Bradley, number 9. Jonathan, John, Jack, and James, 8, 7, 6, and 5. How about that?
How about that?
Nice. How about that?
Henry. Stanley was 4. You got that one. Henry was number 3. Albert Hal Dukes came in at number 2.
Wow.
That's a strange one. Now,
yeah. Al Hal.
When Jerry isn't out for weeks at a time during Rutgers games, it's frustrating because I don't get any middle names. Mm-hmm. But the most interesting middle names that you've given Al of the period is Al Aloysius Dukes. I don't know where that one came from.
I don't even remember ever using that one.
Oh, yeah, you definitely used that one.
It was one of the original. I think that's the reason why I started writing it down.
Okay.
Olivier, you did most recently. I don't know where that came from. Al Olivier Dukes.
Neither do I.
Al Rodrigo.
I like that one.
And then you came in with Butchie, Tony, Leonard, and the one that started this all was really Haynesworth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know what Al's real middle name is, Jerry?
Oh, absolutely. Lewis.
That's not true.
Nope.
Not true.
Actually, Lewis. Lewis is.
How about
one.
Dick?
So, Dick, you've not mentioned yet. No, Albert Dick Dukes, you have not mentioned that one yet. You don't know Al's middle name.
I actually don't.
I do. It's Albert Michael Dukes.
Thank you.
They've never said that.
That's very common. I don't think that's true.
Well, that is my name, Albert Michael Dukes.
Is it really?
That's right. Time
out. Hold on a second here.
Yes.
So you work with a guy who got fired by Al Michaels, and your name is Al Michael?
Al Michael Dukes.
You got to be kidding me.
That's right, Jerry.
That's weird. All right. Hey, we appreciate the call.
Thank you,
I said
Don.
You'd go to 6 o'clock, but Don, we do got to go. Right. We got to take a break. Get a goddamn life. No. That was Eddie. Call again anytime. Like to hear from you. We're going to take a quick break on the other
goddamn life
on the other side. That could go on a mug. We will wrap things up, and we'll get you to Boomer and Geo. Top of the hour here on The Fan. Right now, radio.com Sports Minute. Amy Lawrence on Big Ben.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
Welcome back. Knicks won last night. Get to the All-Star break above 500. Rangers clocked the Devils. Islanders win as well. What else you got, Al?
Jerry Baker Mayfield and his wife are almost 100% sure they saw a UFO in the skies near Lake Travis, which is near Austin, Texas.
Well, they did because they couldn't identify what they saw.
Correct.
Doesn't mean it was aliens.
Could mean it was aliens, though. Could mean it was Martians.
Like, at what point are we going to say that they need to actually come see us before we know they're out there?
We need to see them. Show your faces to us, space aliens.
I don't want them to show. I hope they're not around, actually.
What if they show up with really cool technology?
Are they going to
be interested?
Are they going to take our souls first?
No, they don't. They don't want your soul, but they're just going to be like, this is pretty cool.
See, I think it's going to be like Independence Day. People like Eddie are going to go to the top of a building and welcome them, and they're going to be swallowed up and eaten. That's what I think is going to happen. I'm out.
You don't think they're just going to come down and be like, listen. We know you people are addicted to your phones. This is a really cool. Here's
right.
a really cool version of it.
They're going to give us a new app. We're going to put the app on, and it's going to zap our eyeballs.
Oh, like a Martian's going to be like, just go to the app store, download this app. And then when I do, it shoots a laser into my head.
That's no good, man.
And the only people that survive the Martian attack are those that are not addicted to their phones.
I might be okay then.
Me too.
Oh, Eddie
That's
will survive.
That's a very good point. Al, it's been nice knowing you.
I'll be like, what is this app now?
Every weekday, start your morning with Al and Jerry in the warm-up show at 5 a.m.